Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Oh, man. As someone from Screwston and a screwhead myself from H-Town, gotta appreciate when you break down. So this is Pow Wow? Is this Pow Wow?
Yeah.
So it's not officially DJ Screw in the Click, but of course, Michael 5000 Watts, you know, that kind of stuff. So still in the same family.
That Chop style.
Screwed and chopped, exactly.
Yep.
You know what I mean? From H-Town. So as a Houstonian, former Houstonian, I got to appreciate that. I still love Screwed and Chopped. You don't hear it as much every now and then. You'll hear it like in a random Drake song. He'll throw it in there. He'll screw and chop something. Lil Wayne will throw it into a song. Kendrick Lamar's done it, I think, too. One of his tracks. Just as like a random shout out to H-Town. But yes, you don't hear it like you used to. Maybe because I'm not in Houston as much.
The last mixtape that 21 Savage and Metro Boomin did, they released the original, and then they re-released a chopped and screwed version of it. That's incredible.
Oh, man, and they sound, everything was chopped and screwed. For those who know what chopped and screwed is, chopping is when they literally chop it up. It's like a DJ. It's almost repeating certain slices of the song, certain parts of the song, and screwing it up is when they just slow it down. And don't ask me why we like it, because I can't explain it. I really can't be like, what? Why do you like this kind of music? I don't know. We were probably inebriated, and it's probably nostalgia, me thinking about my time as a teenager or something like that. But I do love the screwed and chopped Mike Cameron once again, showing his eclectic musical palette, no doubt about it. Specs text line wide open for you, 512-337-3776. That is the number. To the Specs text line, love y'all's guys' participation on the Specs text line today. You've been active, and we appreciate it. The show's a whole lot better when you guys participate. You also can do it via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Harge is out, all right, because he's actually a very coveted man these days. He's got that Craig Way bump after working in the booth with Craig Way, so he's called him some baseball games, but he will be back on Tuesday, where Ball Don't Lie will be at Luster Pearl. All right, in South Austin, right off Manchac. I used to live over there, right across from like Luster Pearl and all those outside bars over there. I used to live walking distance. So it's a great place, and now a lot more places to park actually over there too. So Luster Pearl, we'll be over there at from 3 to 7 on Tuesday. Remember, off on Monday as well. But you can cyberstalk Harge at Hardball Harge. And my man Cameron doing a great job twisting and tweaking the dials at Cameron D. Parker. In the Twitterverse. All right, we're going to talk Cowboys and Rod's rant of the day on the other side, and we'll also get into some more NBA playoff discussion later on in the show. Specs text line, someone says, new topic, what are you grilling for this holiday weekend? Ribs. Ribs. Yeah, it's going to be some ribs. It's going to be, I won't even try brisket. I'm scared to try brisket. I won't. I'm scared.
How come?
I'm a Lincoln Riley that thing. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, if I try a brisket, I won't show it to anybody. It'll just be between me and wifey. You know what I mean? Because I'm not that skilled. All right, at the I'm not a grill master, so I'll screw up a brisket. Briskets are tough, so I would do something to eat. Ribs are easy for me, maybe because I've been cooking ribs for a long time. We can do ribs. Ribs is probably that's a go to. Yeah. What about you, Cameron? You got something you're grilling?
I haven't gotten the brisket yet. I love ribs. Probably just some good old-fashioned hamburgers. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, man, nothing wrong with that.
Simple and sweet.
I ain't judging you, brother. Yeah, man. Sounds good to me. All right. Simple and sweet. That was the announcement by Tyrese Hunter. It was simple and sweet and right to the point. The point was he wanted to be a Longhorn. So from Iowa State last year, Big 12 Freshman of the Year, decided... He wanted to commit to the Longhorns out of the transfer portal. It wasn't a huge shock because the Longhorns were confident, but he is a hell of a pickup for Texas basketball, guys. 11 points, 3.5 rebounds, averaged 4.9 assists, but he is a pure point guard. Started all 35 games, so he's really durable. 172 assists, 71 steals. You get him on both ends of the court. He's got some dog in him. Had a 13-assist game versus Baylor this past season. Had a 13-point, 10-assist game versus K-State. Still remember him in the tournament, stepping up on the big stage at the biggest moments. 23 points versus LSU in the tournament. 13-7 with 3 steals. Versus Miami in that loss in the Sweet 16. It is a great pickup for Texas, and he was rated at one point to be the number one player in the transfer portal. I don't know exactly where he was when he announced his commitment, but at one point, he was the best player ranked in the transfer portal. Like I said, a pure point guard for Texas. His usage rate was around 24%, and he even admitted that his shooting struggled. His shooting struggled a little bit last year. 27% from 3-point range, 69% free throw shooter. All things he plans to work on. But 5-3 assist to turnover ratio, really good for a freshman player. So Craig Way, with all of his prodigious clout, right after Tyrese Hunter, the newest Lifetime Longhorn, announced his commitment, got us an exclusive interview with Tyrese Hunter. So the voice of Longhorn sat down with him. Shout out to the folks behind the Burnt Orange Curtain for making it happen, and shout out to Craig Way for giving us the interview. But here is a treat. Tyrese Hunter, the newest Lifetime Longhorn and member of the Texas basketball team, sitting down with the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way.
Craig Way with you here, and very pleased to be joined by the newest and latest member of the Texas Longhorn basketball team. Tyrese Hunter joins us now. Tyrese, I appreciate the time. How are you today?
I'm great. It's a great day to be a Longhorn, huh?
No question about it. I know folks are very, very excited about it. I mean, here you were coming off a Big 12 Freshman of the Year campaign. You started all 35 games for Iowa State. You led them in assists and steals. You ranked second in scoring and minutes, and you and your teammates were able to get to the Sweet 16. Would you describe in review your freshman season?
Man, it was a heck of a year. I just knew coming into college it was going to be a grind. Everybody trying to get to that one goal. So coming in, I knew I had to build a great bond with my teammates, the coaching staff, and we had to get to work. So that's how it always started, and we just kept working and working. And know we had to outwork the others.
One of the questions that comes up for those who have transferred into Texas, or even guys who make the decision to move on and try it at another program, is the bond they feel with the coaching staff. Is that kind of one of the major factors that led you to this decision, the bond and the relationship you were able to develop with Coach Beard and the coaching staff?
Yeah, that was big. I mean, first off, Coach Beard recruited me out of high school. So we already had a feeling, a relationship coming in. And then as soon as I entered the portal after my freshman year, he contacted me right away and telling me he's on me. And, you know, since then, we built a huge bond. And forward to my visit, man, it felt so organic. It was natural. The vibes were real. And I could just feel the energy and just feeling that with the coaching staff, him, RT, Coach Howard, and all those guys, even the teammates, man, the energy was real and organic. So I love that.
What was your experience like when you got a chance to come on to campus and visit not only with Coach Beard and Coach Terry and the rest of the staff, and getting a chance to meet some of the guys who are now going to be your teammates? What was that experience like for you?
Man, it was amazing, man. Everybody interacted with each other. I mean, just people walking down the street, just interacting and saying, hey, what's up? You could tell everybody was just happy, flowing. It was a good vibe out there. Like I said, I'm going to keep using this word. Everything just felt really organic. And that's a vibe that you want. You don't want to force any energy on anybody. You just want to let people be themselves and be happy at who they are and, you know, be acceptable.
I would imagine you probably had a good vibe when you walked into the brand-new Moody Center to look at the new arena, huh?
Man, that was crazy. I never seen nothing like that. I've been to a few Bucks games, and that's a comparison I can give it. So, you know, it's an NBA facility, and, man, I can't wait to get up in there and put on the show.
Tyrese, you've been described as being really a point guard's point guard, a true point guard. How much do you relish that role and how you envision your role with this particular Texas Longhorn basketball team for the coming season?
Man, I just want to take the team to another level. I feel like it's not just about me. It's about this team. I vision. I like Coach Beard and his coaching staff, their plan, just knowing what they have up on the drawing board and the goal that we have going into this next year. So, you know, I just want to make everybody on the court better, and even off the court. You know, you have a clear mind off the court, and, you know, you go out there and you can show out for the fans, and you can win games. So I just want to go out there and make sure my teammates is successful and we're winning, and then, you know, my personal development, everything will fall in line.
How neat is it going to be the fact that you got a chance to play with Gabe Kalscher, and now you're going to get to play with a guy who was his teammate at Minnesota in Marcus Carr? And I know you got to know some of the Longhorns anyway when you went up against them during the year, but how cool is that to get a chance to play with guys who were teammates together, and now you're getting an opportunity to be teammates with them on two separate teams?
It's a coincidence. It really is. But man, it's a blessing. Just knowing Marcus from the visit, and even playing on the court with him, man, Marcus is a real good dude, man. His vibe, his energy, you know, just what he give off and the way he presents himself is amazing. And, you know, that's the type of guys I want to be around. You know, they always say iron sharpens iron. So, you know, being around that, just helping each other, our game, even off the court, the way we interact with people and all that. So, man, Marcus is amazing.
We're visiting with the latest and newest Texas Longhorn point guard, Tyrese Hunter, who is transferring to the University of Texas. Tyrese, what is it that you would want Longhorn fans to know about your game?
My game, I'm going to bring it every night. Win, loss, or draw, I'm going to bring it every night. Defense, offense, getting teammates better, just interacting with the fans, just, you know, everything. You're going to bring it every night. My energy is going to be there. You guys come out, show love, and I'm going to bring 100% energy back.
Is there a part of your game also? I mean, good players always want to be better in all phases of their game. Is there a specific part of your game that you're hoping that Coach Beard and the staff will help you be able to improve as you suit up for Texas?
I just want to say my overall game. I know my shooting percentages was lower last year. You know, I had, you know, tough shooting struts around, but now I'm pretty sure that's going to get up. We're going to work and make sure them numbers get up. But just being an overall teammate, I just want to do anything to make this team win. Like you said, I'm hungry. I seen what it's like to play in March Madness in the Sweet 16. So that just having to get back to that goal and knowing them guys has been almost in that position too, just want to get back to that goal.
Now, Tyrese, Austin, Texas, a little bit different than Ames, Iowa, isn't it? How do you think you're going to adjust to life in Austin, Texas?
Man, I'm going to enjoy it, but, you know, I'm locked in. I'm locked in, man. I'm locked in. It's times when you're locked in and it's times when you can enjoy it. You know, I'm going to take advantage of both opportunities, but, man, my main goal is to get better every day.
Well, Tyrese, it's great to visit with you. I appreciate you taking the time. Excited that you're going to be a Longhorn. Looking forward to visiting with you, interviewing with you, and calling the games that you'll be playing as a Longhorn. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you down here soon.
All right, I appreciate it. Let's go, Longhorn Nation.
That is Tyrese Hunter, the Big 12 Conference Freshman of the Year, playing for the Iowa State Cyclones last year. Now the latest and newest member of the Texas Longhorns.
Sounds like he's pretty comfortable as a lifetime Longhorn. One texter here says he didn't hook him. Well, he's got time to learn. He's been a Longhorn less than, I don't know, like 3 hours or something like that. So he's got time. He'll learn to hook him. He'll learn how to end those conversations with the hook him. But I do think he's got a lot of energy. You can tell it is pretty obvious that guy brings the juice. he did bring the juice even to the interview. So he's one of those guys. I think him and Chris Beard will feed off you one another, like-minded individuals, or at least their basketball characters are the same. There's an intensity to Chris Beard that I think he appreciates, because he's not as intense as a Chris Beard, but the energy level. He said when Craig asked him, you know, you love Austin, different than Ames, you know, what are you going to do in Austin? And he says, I'm locked in. Like, really, Austin being a great town doesn't really compute to me right now. Because he's a 2023 draft prospect. It's a good chance that if he has a great year, he could end up getting drafted. Longhorn fans hope he has a great year and ends up getting drafted, because that would mean that he's playing really well for Texas and is helping Texas win a lot of games. So Tyrese Hunter, the latest commit for Texas basketball via the transfer portal. So in addition to Tyrese Hunter now, Big 12 freshman of the year a year ago, Timmy Allen, Christian Bishop, Brock Cunningham. Still don't know about Dylan DeSouza, no confirmation there. But then you do have the transfer from New Mexico State, Jabari Rice. And he's what? He's 6'4", but that's another guy. And you got Terrier Morris coming in, who is another guard who's a 5-star. So when you go 3 guards, you'll have a pretty stout group there now. With Marcus Carr, who can now play the 2, can play off ball, because I think that's probably where he's most comfortable. And then you got a true point guard, or a truer point guard, in Tyrese Hunter. And Arterio Morris, I haven't watched him a ton, but I hear 5-star, and he's probably a guy that's got a really versatile skill set. So it's good for the Longhorns. Good stuff there. All right, well, speaking of the transfer portal, it giveth and it taketh away, but today it giveth and it just kept on giving to Longhorn sports. Texas football got the commitment from a transfer portal player, Diamante Tucker Dorsey. He likes to be called Tuck. We learned that from Jeff Ketchum, so shout out to Jeff Ketchum and Orange Bloods for that little scoop. He visited Texas this past week and decided he wanted to be at Texas, decided that it was a done deal. He was at James Madison, an FCS All-American, and a really good player, really productive player. Got a text here that says, when he makes a big hit, Seaway can say, DTD with the DDT. Yep, that's pretty good. I like that. Not bad at all. Craig Way is pretty creative, but that's not bad. I like that. Call him Tuck, whatever. But this is what I think, because he's 5'10", 215. Okay, and he's a really good football player. But as a linebacker, he would be considered to be undersized. But he has a physical nature about him. You know, same thing can be said for Quandre Diggs. Remember Quandre Diggs, right, came to Texas as a nickelback, played corner at first early on, and they moved him inside to nickel. And as he got to the NFL, you know, the guy that was drafted, what, sixth round, somewhere like that. As he got to the NFL, they decided that his football character and skill set didn't really fit his measurables, right? It didn't really fit the prototype cornerback or nickelback and what he was playing in. So they moved him to safety. And now he's one of the best safeties in the league because he's got the personality and the skill set of a safety. God just put him in the body of a 5'8 cornerback, usually a slot corner. And they tried him out there. He could play slot corner in the league. He's good enough to do that. But if you want him at his best, the best version of Quandre Diggs is at safety. But the body type doesn't match up with your traditional safeties. So forever, everybody's like, nah, he's a corner. Nah, he's a slot nickel. But do you watch how physical he is? Watch how well he can tackle in the open field. The physical nature. He's a ball hawk, right? Tracks the ball really well. You're like, man, he's got all the skills of a really good safety. Yeah, but he's 5'8". He's short. He's tiny. He's got short arms. He does not look like a safety, but he plays like a safety. A little bit of that in Diamonte Tucker Dorsey, where he doesn't look like a traditional linebacker. Almost looks like a safety out there playing linebacker. But he has a physical nature about him. Now, let's assume that Rod B as a football theorist is psychoanalyzing PK here. Let's assume PK's been paying attention, all right? Let's see. Let's assume that he understood the assignment. He's reading the room, the ecosystem of the Big 12. And what I've been telling you for years about the ecosystem of the Big 12, right? There's no way to understate the influence of the air raid on the Big 12 when at one point, you know, you go 10, 12 years ago in the Big 12 and, hell, maybe for a minute, 10, 12, 15 years ago in the Big 12 and 80% of the league is air raid. 80% of it, the influence of Mike Leach coming. And really, it's more Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops fell in love with Mike Leach when he was defensive coordinator at Florida because he couldn't figure out how to stop the air raid when Mike Leach was calling plays at Kentucky. So Bob Stoops says to himself, whenever I get a head coaching job, I'm going to run the damn defense, but I'm gonna run that damn air raid offense. And the few times in history where you've had an air raid offense that actually has been teamed up with a really good defense, i.e. Oklahoma with Bob Stoops, and that air raid offense won a national title. Gary Patterson and that TCU defense, along with Meacham and Sonny Cumbie in 2014, had a shot in the conversation. It doesn't happen very often because the air raid is a religion, as that's what Graham Harrell once called. He said it's not schematics, it's not a scheme, it's not X's and O's, it's a religion. So in that sense, it infects every part of your team. It's dogma, it's religion. You wake up every morning, you swear by it. You know, it ain't just a scheme you run. It's a philosophy you live by. So it infects everything. But it also infected the Big 12. And everybody wanted to run it. And as a result, in the ecosystem of the Big 12, the evolutionary adaptation happens all over ecosystems all around the world, right? Everybody's running the air raid. Everybody's throwing the ball all over the place. The vertical passing game is just eviscerating defenses. So defense decided we got to stop the pass. That's priority number one. They backed up the safeties and put two safeties deep. Everybody started running two deep looks, all right, with two deep safeties to stop the vertical passing threat and almost dare teams to run the ball because you can't stack the box, can't load the box with two deep safeties. Numerically impossible. So teams in the Big 12 said, all right, well, I'm going to work smarter, not harder. If you're going to back up the safeties and you're going to give me the run, I'll take it. So what happened, right? You got Iowa State And by the way, Iowa State, they started running three safety looks. They got so obsessed with stopping the pass and daring teams to run. So you got teams like Iowa State who decided, all right, a hybrid spread scheme, we'll run multiple tight ends. K-State running multi-back formations. You know, Oklahoma State with Jalen Warren running it down your throat. Baylor with their RVO offense, a reliably violent offense, as they call it, where they run it down your throat with Abram Smith, right, and Tristan Ebner. And so the best teams in the Big 12 became hybrid spread teams that wanted to spread you out to run the football. And PK miscalculated the league when he came into the league because the Big 12 is actually a running league cross-dressing as a passing league. But he thought it was the Big 12 from like 8-9 years ago. Wrong. Wrong. So he kept playing all those two deep high looks. No, you got to get guys in the box. You got to stop the run in this Big 12 because they're spreading you out to run the football. So that was the evolutionary adaptation. Now, in my opinion, now you have all these hybrid spread schemes, as my man Jeff Howe calls them, in the Big 12 because all the defense decided we're going two high show looks, two deep safeties. We're going to let you run the ball. We're not going to let you throw the ball deep downfield on us. Hell no. So because of that, you've got the shift happening. And now for defenses, in my opinion, the next evolutionary adaptation for the defense, now that they're giving up chunk yards via the ground, Texas allowed 5.2 yards per rush last year and allowed 7 yards per rush when teams ran through the C gap, which is outside the tackle, outside the tight end. Huge issues outside. So now teams are starting to have hybrid defenders. Like, that's the next leap, right? I need hybrid defenders to adjust to the hybrid spread schemes offensively because all they're trying to do is single out a matchup advantage and get a linebacker or a safety or somebody to get them out of their depth. But if I got guys who are hybrids, who are versatile defenders, they're never really at a true disadvantage. They're hybridized. So that's why Jalen Petrie wins Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12, and he's a guy that started off as a linebacker and brags about being a hybrid linebacker safety. Even in the NFL, he brags about, oh, I was a linebacker hybrid safety. I was a star position at Baylor. Right? You have Iowa State who went with hybrid defenders way back when Greg Eisworth and those guys, right? They went in that group. The best defense in the Big 12 last year was Oklahoma State's defense because Mike Gundy 5 years ago decided he was going to stop recruiting specific positions in the back seven on defense at the linebacker at position and the safety position and the corner position, decided I'm just going to go with what I call spread babies. That's what I call them. But he basically, I'm going to go with great athletes who are really good in space. I'm going to put them in my nutrition program. I'm going to give them a dietitian. I'm going to put them in a strength and conditioning program, get them on some weights, and I'm going to see where their body takes them. Sometimes they may grow out of being a safety and become a linebacker, like Malcolm Rodriguez came in as a quarterback, ended up as a safety, grew into being a linebacker, best linebacker in the Big 12 last year. Paid off. They got they had two defensive backs, like Colby Harville-Peel and Jarek Bernard-Converse, all these really good defensive backs. They were just versatile defenders, what I call spread babies. They were always comfortable in space. And that's why Oklahoma State, they had versatile defenders that can match up with the hybrid spread schemes across the board. So the best defenses in the Big 12 are going with a positionless philosophy. And if you look at Diamante Tucker-Dorsey, 5'10", 215. It's possible that PK's thinking about, maybe I can use him as a hybrid. I know he can run. He had 4 interceptions, 5 PBUs in 2021, comfortable in space, comfortable in coverage, 116 total tackles, so I know he can tackle in space, know he's great in open field and tackling, and he can make plays. And you can blitz him. 9 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. He's one of those guys that's really versatile, but undersized. And maybe in the Big 12, that's not such a disadvantage because you do have a lot of hybrid defenders. Now, it all depends on how you want to use that guy. But like I said, I think PK is now studying the conference like he probably should have studied a little bit harder before and now is realizing what ecosystem that he's got to coach in. And in this ecosystem, you got to believe in hybridism. You got to believe in positionless football. Hell, DeMarvion Overshown is supposed to be Texas' best linebacker. Safety, they moved to linebacker. All linebackers these days in the Big 12, they're pretty much projects. Developmental projects. You found a really good athlete. Gary Patterson, the special assistant to the head coach, been doing it for years. Been doing it for decades. Find a really good athlete and then mold him into being an off-ball linebacker. Because these days, because of the proliferation of the spread offense at the lower levels of football, you don't have traditional linebackers anymore. You got to develop those guys. And that's going to be a test for Texas. DeMarvion Overshown is that experiment. And I think every school has their own version of that right now. So I like the move just because I think you wanted more speed on defense. He's obviously a speed guy at the linebacker position, but you added speed at the safety position with Anthony Cook moving to safety. You added speed with me moving Keaton Crawford to safety as well. All right, you moved Jadae Barron into nickel. So you're faster up the central nervous system of your defense. And what PK's got to focus on is fixing the structural integrity of the defense because that's what failed him last year. So I like the move. I think it's a good move. You needed depth there. Sark said the two positions that concerned him most about depth, wide receiver and linebacker. And since he made that statement to my friend Jeff Howe over at Horns 24/7, he's addressed both of those issues. Shout out to Sark. All right, come back. We'll talk Cowboys. Cowboys may be believing too much in the NFL draft. I'll explain when we return right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 Home.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, and welcome back to Rod's Rant of the Day. Talking to Cowboys fans here for a second, because I've been telling Cowboys fans that the Cowboys aren't done in free agency, and I don't think they are. I think the Cowboys are going to continue to make some moves in free agency. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have both reiterated that. But I will warn Cowboys fans, even though I think they're going to make some more moves to upgrade the roster, in their opinion. They may not be splashy moves, and honestly, they may not be moves of real significance in the eyes of fans. Now, the latest free agency acquisition for the Cowboys in 2021 was Malik Hooker. That was July 22nd, and he's going to end up being a starting safety for the Cowboys this upcoming season. In 2020, I think it was a Cam Irving, offensive lineman, May 6th. So that was a little bit that was a little bit earlier, but that was the latest one that season. So there's some proof that the Cowboys still could end up making moves. Cowboys have signed in free agency, basically, if you look at it by month. And since 2011, there have been six off seasons where the Cowboys didn't sign a player in May or June, and then signed at least one player in July or August. So it's a pretty, like I said, if you look at recent history, there's a pretty good chance the Cowboys are going to end up making another move. But here's the interesting thing. So you go look at the moves the Cowboys have made since 2011, month to month. I'll just read for you some of the names, and it'll prove the point that it's probably not going to be a splashy or sexy acquisition. There's a couple in here, but it's rare. Since 2011, in May, Johnny Dixon, Andy Dalton, Cameron Irving, Tyler Klutz, A.J. Jenkins, Laron Bird, Danny McCray, Ryan Williams, Anthony Hargrove. June, Reggie Davis, Uchi Nwaneri, Dante Rosario, Eric Frampton, Pat McQuiston. July, Malik Hooker, good one. Kyron Brown, Alfred Morris, Luke McCown, Ronnie Hillman, Justin Durant, he was re-signed, Cameron Bradfield, Keith Smith, Dallas Walker, Desmond Briscoe, Demetrius Bell, Landon Cohen, George Selvey, Marcus Spears, Doug Free, Kyle Kosher, Larim Hajrullahu, Everson Griffin, Pace Murphy, Coney Ealy, Ben Molina, Cody Clay, Brandon Barden, Jonathan Brown, Kenneth Boatwright, Asa Watson, Stephen Gooden, Philip Tanner, Jack Crawford, Corey Toomer, Brandon Moore, Brett Mayer, Jason Vega, Gerald Sensabaugh, Jason Hatcher, also another good player. So even with that, think about this. the four players that I mentioned that probably you remember, Gerald Sensabaugh, Jason Hatcher, Marcus Spears, and Doug Free, were at the end of July and August. And basically, Dallas found significant contributors in later months of the season. This is not the case. In 2011, when those four players were signed, that was the lockout year. The offseason didn't start until July. So that was the only year where they signed a lot of name brand guys that you would know that were significant contributors late in the offseason. But that's because the offseason started late because it was a strike-shortened offseason. Or because of the lockout, I should say. Lockout. They didn't have a strike. Lockout shortens offseason. So the Cowboys, and I got this quote from Stephen Jones. Y'all Cowboys fans call him Catboy. Catboy. Because he's pretty cheap, and he's all about the cap around this time. He always brings up the cap when he's talking about making acquisitions in free agency. And the Cowboys, the frustrating thing for Cowboys fans is they're always in a discussion, whether it's Bobby Wagner or a Honey Badger or whatever. If it's somebody else, oh, no, the Cowboys are in a discussion, but they'll never end up getting the actual player because the Cowboys front office doesn't operate that way. Here's what Stephen Jones said. The biggest thing is just that free agency. I just don't think you can make a living there. That's what we've always said. I think you're overpaying in free agency most of the time. Free agents are overvalued because you're competing in a market where you've got teams that don't have as many players they have to spend on, have to use cap space on, end quote. Which is true, by the way. That is true. But the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size but is, yeah, but you still need to use every possible opportunity to upgrade the roster. Free agency, undrafted free agency, draft, and trades. All four. You need to make sure you're maximizing opportunities to churn over the roster. And in my opinion, I love what the Cowboys do in the draft. I do. I love it. I think it's great. But they don't do enough to upgrade the roster, in my opinion, via trades. I know they did with the Amari Cooper thing, and I like that. Via trades and also via free agency. Now, how about this? The Cowboys, if you look at free agents they've acquired, all right, so we're talking about free agents they've acquired who are also significant cap hits. So take the top 15 players, top 15 highest paid players on the Cowboys team, all right? And how many of those top 15 players, in terms of what they're paid, their cap hit, are free agents from the Cowboys? They acquired via free agency. For the Cowboys, it's three. Jayron Kearse, money pickup, by the way. One of the best safeties in the league. That was a hell of a pickup by the Cowboys. Darrell Beauchamp and Dante Fowler. So you got three. Three players among the top 15 highest paid players on the Cowboys are free agent acquisitions. How does that compare to other NFL teams? Well, let's take a look, shall we? How about their own division, the Giants? Giants, Eagles, and the Commanders. The Giants have six guys in their top 15 highest paid players. There were free agent acquisitions. The Eagles, six as well. Washington, nine. Maybe too much. The Rams, Super Bowl champions. How about the Cincinnati Bengals? Let's see what they had, right? How many of their top 15 players were free agent acquisitions? The Rams, eight. Cincinnati, eight. Green Bay, six. Pittsburgh, eight. You're talking about the teams that build through the draft. They're the most homegrown teams in NFL history. And even they take advantage of free agency more than the Cowboys. Kansas City, eight. Tennessee, seven. Tampa Bay, seven. The Cowboys probably are the least aggressive team in free agency in the NFL. You can make that case, or at least among the real competitors. So that's my thing. And he's right. If you, let's say you compare talent acquisition in the NFL to grocery shopping. Let's make that analogy. All right? Then the draft would essentially be shopping at HEB. HEB's got the best damn values. You get coupons for most of the stuff you get. And nobody beats the damn prices of HEB. Nobody. All right? Shout out to HEB. Love you guys. But if you want to go shopping at Whole Foods or Central Market, good for you. But that's like shopping in a free agent market. You're going to pay top dollar for every damn thing. That's the highest costing lettuce you ever bought in your damn life. It's like $8 lettuce. But it's all natural. All natural. A trade is more like going to Sprouts or that Sprout app. You know the Sprout app where you can trade and barter like your backyard produce with other neighbors and stuff like that. That's what trading is in terms of you want to compare it to talent acquisition to grocery shopping. But undrafted free agents, undrafted free agents, if you want to compare it to grocery shopping, it's like when the checkout girl forgets to scan a product and just lets it go by. And it gets in your bag. Free 99. Best value you can get. That's the only comparison to undrafted free agents. Because undrafted free agents, I mean, there is no better value in the NFL. And by the way, 33% of all NFL rosters are undrafted free agents. That's your penny stock. That is money. All right, there's no better value in the NFL than an undrafted free agent. And by the way, shout out to the Cowboys because if you look at undrafted free agency rankings by my man Thor Nystrom in the last 3 years, 2022, Cowboys, number one undrafted free agency class. In 2021, number two undrafted free agency class. 2020, number one undrafted free agency class. Cowboys are all about those bargain basements, but I think they're too cheap, right? Like my dad. My dad would walk the line between being like fiscal and frugal and just being cheap, right? I mean, and there's a difference, right? You can be fiscal or frugal or just be stingy. And you can be thrifty or be a tightwad. You can be prudent and parsimonious or just be conservative, whatever you want to call it, right? It depends on how you look at the world and how you interpret value. My dad, when we go to Luby's, all right, he would pass up the lemonade that was already made and go get water, lemons, and sugar and sit at the table and be like, everybody make their own lemonade. And we would, because he said paying $3 for already made lemonade when I got all the ingredients here for free. That's Pops in a nutshell. Right? We would go around the neighborhood and clean up the neighborhood and pick up all the cans, take them to the aluminum place to get recycled, and Dad took, we get the money. Dad was like, y'all get more cans, y'all get more money. We were like little bums collecting cans around the neighborhood and picking them up. Pops was about value. Pops was like, that's something free, and we get money for it. Done. All my childhood, Pops was like, stop at some random place, like, let's pick up them cans. A lot of cans out there. Pops was about value. We never bought a trash can in our lives. All right, because my dad would use the grocery bag that we got as a trash can. All those little paper grocery bags, we fold them up, trash can. Never bought a trash can. He said, why would I buy a trash can when I'm putting trash in it? It didn't make, to him, that value didn't make sense. Never used a dishwasher, still don't get that one. But my point is, there's a difference between being frugal and fiscal and just being cheap and a tightwad. And I think in free agency, the Cowboys are borderline being cheap and a tightwad and not being frugal and fiscal. And that's the frustrating part. You look at all the other teams, and I just gave you the comparisons. Everybody else is more aggressive than the Cowboys in free agency. And I understand value. Listen, I was giving this example the other day. You know, if you want to take talent acquisition in the NFL and compare it to strip clubs, right, and soliciting services at strip clubs in terms of the value, right, the best value at a strip club is still what? The tip drill. You go up to the stage with $1, and you'll get a dance. $1. You know how long, it may be a 30-second dance, it may be whatever, but you get her attention for 30, 45 seconds, whatever it is, and $1. I believe inflation still has not affected the strip club tip drill. Best value, might be the best value going other than the Arizona iced teas, which are still a damn dollar too. All right? That's basically the draft. It's the best value you can get in terms of acquiring talent. All right? You go up there, tip drill, get a dollar, get some love. The lap dance, that's like a trade. All right, that's like making a trade in the NFL. It's more of a proven commodity. That's why you go to lap dance, because you like what you see. And there's room to negotiate. Depending on where you go. I still believe it's $20, though. It's interesting how inflation has not affected the strip clubs. It's crazy. COVID, inflation, nothing changes strip club prices. It's a beautiful thing. And if you want to keep getting deeper with the comparison, free agency, which is the most expensive way to acquire talent, that's like going up to the stage, which I've done. Instead of going tip drill with $1 in your hand, you make it rain. Make it rain. And everybody in the club's like, he balling. He making it rain. And Stephen Jones, he is not the guy that likes to make it rain. He's going up to the stage with $1 in his hand, and he's stingy with that dollar. He's going to make her work for that dollar. He's going to make her dance 90 seconds to get that dollar. That's Cat Boy. He ain't trying to make it rain. Now, what's the equivalent of an undrafted free agent in a strip club analogy like this? Dating a stripper. Ever dated a stripper or a new one personally, get free lap dances. Get hooked up on the drinks. That is value. That is value, my friend. And because you know the stripper, all of her friends are cool with you, so they hook you up with extra stuff, too. So you get lap dances from them, and then you get extra songs and longer songs, and then you can go up there with your dollar and you get extra attention. But you got to know the strippers for that, and that's tough. You know the strippers? I had one time in my life I knew a lot of strippers. Now I don't know any, in case my wife is listening. I don't know any. And you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Because all the strippers I knew, they were going on to be nurses and teachers and other things. And I'm sure now they are, because I help pay for it. Yes, right? It's like the United Negro College Fund. All right, we're done. We're done for now. It's enough of me ragging on the Cowboys. But don't expect the Cowboys to be done in free agency, but also don't expect for any bombshell acquisitions by the Cowboys, because Cat Boy, he ain't making it rain. Let's just say that. All right. We come back. We'll get into some other items of the day. As a matter of fact, we come back. I want to jump into some other NFL news, notes, and nuggets. We'll do it all on the other side, right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. I had a particular subject I wanted to discuss here, but I don't believe I have enough time to get into it. So next segment, we'll do NBA review. We'll talk about the Mavs a little bit and also get into the Celtics Heat series. You can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Cameron, Twisting and Tweaking Dallas, doing a great job today at Cameron D. Parker. My man Harge is out. Cyberstalk him at Hardball Harge. Patrick Davis out as well. Well-deserved, matter of fact. Like I said, like a woman. And I love all the women. I'm like, women know how to celebrate a birthday. Men don't know how to celebrate birthdays. Men, we don't even tell our friends it's our birthday. Like, you ever been have a friend of yours who's a guy and you're like, you're hanging out with him and you find out it's his birthday on a day you're hanging out with him? Like, what are you doing? It's your birthday? You didn't say anything? It's like, who cares? Guys are like that. Like, guys don't care about their birthday. You care about your birthday, Cameron?
No, I don't. But girls, some girls, they do it for like a week, man.
Oh, dude, it's all
like birthday week. It's like, all right, you got
to
chill.
No, it's real. I used to date a chick who had a half birthday. Celebrate the half birthday on you, man, and was serious about it.
Oh,
you
man.
Better have something ready for the half birthday celebration. No, but ladies don't want to do it. Ladies celebrate the day they were born. It's a beautiful thing. But he's right. They'll go a week, and Patrick's basically doing what the ladies do. He took off on Thursday. He ain't been back since. And he won't be back till Tuesday. So shout out to my man Patrick. It is a well-deserved vacation, though. I don't know what he's paid, but the man's underpaid. Does a great job. All right, so I'll just hit the text line here and have some fun. Chan says, Rod, you're sleeping on the couch. I guess after that last rant, talking about all the strippers I knew. My wife knows about my wild days. She knows. She met me right at the tail end of them. Because she disapproved of some of my friends when we first met. And they were my friend. They were my strip club, probably doing too much stuff. Friends. We all had those. And as I was getting older, and I started realizing, you know what, I probably shouldn't be hanging around these people either. And that's kind of how it started. And you know how it ended. With a ring on it. Someone says an eighth of weed is still $50, if not lower. Same as it was 20 years ago. So I guess a strip club and a lap dance is not the only thing unaffected by inflation. But I will say those eighths are probably smaller. Because I'll say Chick-fil-A nuggets, they think they slick. I love those bigoted bites of joy. But I've been obsessed with Chick-fil-A nuggets, and you guys know this. They got smaller. Chick-fil-A nuggets got smaller across the board. Everywhere except Atlanta, the hometown of Chick-fil-A. But everywhere else, all y'all getting smaller fried chicken. I guarantee you. I have observed it. I've studied it. The chicken is smaller. But it's all good. It's all good. Because you know what? I'd rather them make the chicken smaller than raise the prices. That's what I think. I think they're just a great, great organization, great business. So they just know what they're doing. Someone says, Rod, I know you're married, but I was thinking about how you ranked HEBs by female talent. You need to revisit this. The Target by Lakeline 183 has some babes that shop there, and it made me think of your rankings. Yeah. We used to do shows at HEB every Friday during football season. And, yes, I had my annual HEB rankings where I would rank the HEBs. It wasn't just about the female talent. Yes, the Real Housewives of that area weighed heavily in my rankings, but it was also about the produce and the employees and the ambiance and, you know, and the local folks who called that their HEB. It was a little bit of a composite, but you're right. 50% of my grading formula was based on the Real Housewives and the real co-eds or whatever of that HEB. Yeah. So it was legit. I think the Real Housewives of Westlake won a few times. With the Real Housewives of Westlake dominated a few times. One time, the Real Coeds of Hancock Center won. Because, I mean, do I need to explain? So give it up for those ladies. So, yeah, I had some fun with that. We might bring that back. We travel. We will bring that back, I promise you. You know what? One thing I used to do in a grocery store, strange, I used to tell this story about grocery stores. Because grocery stores were actually one of my favorite places to pick up women back in the day. And I'll give you guys, I give you guys some game. All right, to help y'all single men out there to pick up women, here's another one. Here's another one. All right, told you about the chick Nick. That's all good. Told you about writing a letter, right, because nobody writes women letters anymore. So write her a letter and mail it to her. That's the key. It's got to come in the mail. Old school. She's like, what the hell is this? What the? She'll go through all the emotion. Oh my God. Oh, he sent me a letter. No, all you get in the mail now is bills. Everything in your mail is stressful. You're going to give her a letter, handwritten like Mac Brown style. Dude, you're going to be in there like swimwear. Trust me on that. Because women don't get letters anymore. They also don't go on picnics. You're going to be in there like swimwear. So I'm looking you up. Here's another good one, guys. If you're single, go do your grocery shopping. I know it sounds crazy. Do it in a suit. She don't know why you're in a suit. She's going to think you just came from work as a young professional. You look best in a suit. That's why your mama always wanted to see you dressed up. All the women in your life, when you dress up, what do they say? You look good. Damn, you look good. Oh, you look so good. You look great. You're so handsome. And you never dress up because you're too cool. Go to your grocery shopping in a suit. Don't deck it out. Don't go three-piece suit. You went to a business dinner or a business lunch or something. You just came from your job, and that's the vibe. You'll be fighting them off with a stick. They'll be coming up to you. I guarantee, because it never happens. They're not gonna assume you're a psychopath that dressed up to go grocery shopping. Now, they hear this radio program, they may think it. But otherwise, they're gonna think, oh, he just came from somewhere. And he had to do some grocery shopping. Obviously, it's an emergency. He didn't want to be here. Man, I'm telling you, 60% of the time, it works every time. You're looking your best. She's interested. Why is he in a suit? You just got to have a good story. Once you have a good story, you're good. You're golden. Whatever it may be. You had something to do, blah, blah, interview. Interview is really good. I had an interview. I don't know how it went. Hopefully, it went well. Oh, what's your interview for? Boom, you're in there like swimwear. Bro, telling you. I know you go like, that's crazy. You'd be surprised. And think about how much stuff you can find out about a person at a grocery store. I know what she's eating. I know if she's healthy. I know if she cooks. Or if she gets frozen food and heats it. I know a lot about her. She likes Snickers bars. Hey, I like Snickers bars. You know what I mean? Like you love, what kind of ointment you got on? Oh, you need that kind of ointment. You got a fungus? Okay, I'm moving on. Like you learn a lot about somebody just by looking in their grocery cart. And you looking your best? Man, it's one of my favorite. It was one of my favorite places to pick up women. Just gonna tell you. All right, you're welcome. Oh yeah, dude. I was about my business when I was a single man. I had two things that I was focused on, playing in NFL and hooking up with chicks. Academics was third or fourth on that list. I got there sooner or later, but man, I can give you a lot of great pointers. These are just the ones that are PG-13. All right. Yeah, guys, who are in a relationship right now, write your woman a letter. Instead of paying money for some gift, and you know you've thought about all the gifts and you're out of gift ideas, write her a letter and mail it to her, even if you live in the same house with her. Mail it to her and watch her reaction. She's going to be giddy, titillated. You're welcome. I'm just out here, you know what I mean, just Mr. Romance hooking y'all up because I don't need him anymore. I'm married. I don't need any of this stuff anymore. I'm married. If we ever break up, then I don't know. I guess I'll go to the dating apps and I'll be swiping left and right. Which I'm kind of down with that. All right, we'll come back. We'll come back. I don't know what the hell we'll do. We'll talk NBA playoffs on the other side, maybe. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.